How's your weekend, Buzz?
Yeah, not too bad, mate. As I heard Adam and you guys talking about, great for sport lovers, wasn't it? Yeah. But plenty of drama as usual in the NRL. The drama never sleeps, does it? And, you know, I've got a totally opposite view to you, Laurie Clarkey, with the World Cup. I think the Australian Rugby League Commission have done the right thing. And I think more than anything else, our NRL stars have been up from March to November last year, had a very short off-season back into it. They've been living in hubs and bubbles and lockdown for all this year. Look, the other thing you've got to remember, guys, these aren't tennis players, cricketers, soccer players. They are playing the most brutal body contact sport. They suffer a lot of injury, and I really think every NRL player needs to have 6 to 8 weeks to sit on the beach this summer. And for mental health reasons as much as anything else, and to repair battered bodies from the toughest campaign in the history of the game owing to COVID.
Yeah, Buzz, I was going to ask, so you think it's because of the physical workload from these players for the last 2 years that they need a break? Because there's not, mate, there's not a sport on the planet that doesn't fatigue you mentally. You know, if I talk about cricket, you go 10 months of the year where you're on the road, you're travelling. Yes, you don't have the physical battle that a league player has, but mentally, you play test match cricket over 5 days and just continue to go and go and go. You know, there's no doubt that those players need a break as well. And that's the only thing
Clarkey,
I question.
Clarkey, half the team sitting in the dressing room every second day with their feet up.
Yeah, no, hang on. That's said from someone. That comment is said from someone that has never played a game of cricket in his life. That's a lot of rubbish, Buzz. You go and bowl 25 overs in a day, and what, you're not allowed to sit in the change room for a couple of hours while your teammates go and bat? Please.
I'm just saying, Clarkey.
Please.
Clarkey, you cannot compare cricket to rugby league.
I'm not comparing. I'm comparing all sport. I'm saying all athletes are at the moment going over and above, especially mentally. Why is rugby league different? Why do the rugby... I'm asking the question. You've been around rugby league a lot longer than me. I'm asking,
well,
why is it different?
I thought I'd explained that these guys have been in... Why a lot of the Australian cricketers chosen not to go to the West Indies? Because they've had enough of bubble. They've had enough that they want to spend time with their family. They want to relax. They want to get over injuries.
Which leads me to my point, though, Buzz. Shouldn't it be the choice of the player?
Well,
because we're hearing over the weekend a lot of these players want to go and play in a World Cup.
Yeah, but Laurie, of course players are going to want to go and play over there. But is it good for them? Players can't help. You know, players need help sometimes to make decisions because they're so passionate about international football. I think international football's got to be put on hold for 6 months to a year because of this COVID crisis. I really do. What you've got to remember is, Laurie, this NRL isn't travelling all that well this year. You've seen all the blowouts. We had more on the weekend. Rabbitohs 60, Warriors 22, Manly 44. I don't think the competition's been that great. I really don't. And one of the reasons is what players are having to cope with away from the game. And even before they went to these hubs, they were back in lockdown. They spent most of last year in lockdown. Sometimes the clubs are paying these players up to $1 million a season. Mm. They're the employees of the clubs. The clubs need them in really good health and really good mental state for the start of next season.
Yep.
I'm really, really strong on the fact that they should be sitting on a beach, they should be cuddling their kids, they should be home at Christmas, and I just think that should be happening.
Yep.
Love international football, though, and I'm hoping in 6 months' time we get everyone involved and go again.
Right. So your thoughts on international football, it ranks number 3. After NRL, Origin, and then internationals. Is that where you're putting it?
Molly, that is so wrong.
Well, I'll say this though, Buzz. If it was your number one, all right, you would be doing everything you could to make international football in this World Cup.
You'd prioritise it over Origin and NRL.
Oh, fucking please. Number one has to be the NRL.
Yep.
Reason, because when rugby league's never going to be soccer. Rugby league's never going to be rugby union. Rugby league's never going to be cricket or tennis as an international sport. We've got to accept that. We've got to live on with it. That the fact it's really an Eastern Seaboard game in Australia, plus it's played in the north of England, and now we've got this magnificent growth, in the Pacific Islands. What I'm saying is, while COVID, you saw the front page of the paper today, a poor 38-year-old woman died.
Mm.
You know, you've got to protect your players. And with the NRL, they've got a $2 billion TV deal or whatever it's worth over 5 years. Yeah. That has to be protected more than anything else if rugby league is going to survive. We are about to walk into free-to-air negotiations with a broadcaster who knows that our ratings have slumped dramatically on free-to-air and state of origin, all that, for a long period of time. So we have to make sure the NRL is number one.
So is Loz's question not... You just, okay, so NRL's number one. Is Origin number two or international footy?
Well, I think the way Origin is has been in recent years, Clarky, I would put more importance, and that's why I've been sort of campaigning for a mid-year magic round-style scenario involving the Pacific nations, and where the winners of that, the four, you know, Fiji, Tonga, Samoa, New Zealand,
yeah,
would go into a tri-series and play Australia and England at the end of the year. But look, I just don't think the timing's right for the World Cup. I think it's really, really unfortunate, but I think we've got to put the players' well-being and welfare number one at this stage. And look, I'd rather see Latrell Mitchell enjoying his family and his farm in Taree
than playing for
living
Australia.
In lockdown. This summer, Clarkie, yeah.
Would it change, Buzz, if the World Cup was in Australia, for example? Would you see it differently? Like, is the travel away from home, the lockdown situation, obviously, before you leave, once you get back, is that into your consideration as to why you say this?
Yeah, of course it is. I don't want to see any situation where rugby league players, like the IPL boys, you know, where they had to, you know, that, well, they basically couldn't get home.
Mm.
And I just don't want to see any rugby league. To be honest with you, this year I'd like to see every rugby league player, as much as we'd miss the international football. I'd love to see them all clock off after the grand final, have a good break, come back next year. Hopefully we've got more people vaccinated and we can have a great year of NRL, but at the end of next year have the most spectacular international competition. But I love international football. Growing up as a kid, I saw the French, I saw the Poms, I saw the Kiwis, and it was like Origin is now. It was the be-all and end-all.
Now, Buzz...
I appreciate all your views, though. You know, I'm not having a... the cricketers are obviously tough people, you know. They are.
They rest up in the shed.
No, how they drop off.
Mate, what about you, Buzz? You're dropping off now.
Yeah.
Sit in the change room, put their feet up.
Hold your point.
Well, that's true.
I know. How lazy, soft is the cricketers? Ask Glenn McGrath how easy it is to bowl 50 overs.
Yeah, can I ask Glenn McGrath what it's like when his team gets 600 and he sits on his backside with his feet up?
Yeah, he recovers after bowling 50 overs and winning the game for his team.
Oh, this is great. Clarkie, we'll continue this at the pub when we're out of lockdown.
Said from a non-cricketer, Buzz. That's all I'm going to say.
Right.
Me talking about writing newspaper articles.
Now, Buzz, now, what do you make of, the Sharks having to up their offer to 4 years, or the length of the deal to 4 years to match the Tigers and the Dragons to get Dale Finucane on the verge of turning 30.
Yeah, look, I think they've gone a year too long, to be honest with you. And but you do have to note that the last year of the contract is for only $320,000. So it's not one of those bad back-ended ones that Josh Dugan and Andrew Fifita have been on at the Sharks. So, look, to get Finucane, to get Cameron McGuinness, to get Nicho Hynes, not just as rugby league players, but for the culture they will bring to the Cronulla Sharks. And coupled with Craig Fitzgibbon, I think it's a fantastic thing for the club, and I think it could turn them into a top four team again. You look at the type of player compared that the Canterbury Bulldogs have had to sign. You know, Paul Vaughan's about to sign there, Tevita Pangai Jr., Naden, and these sort of players. I like culture players in the modern era. I like Melbourne Storm type of players. And look, I think whereas the Sharks probably win an extra year, it's not a lot of money that final year.
Buzz, I saw in your column in the telly today that a Roosters player is in trouble for posting something online.
Oh, yeah. Takiaho last week promoted the Freedom Rally, which was an absolute disgrace on the weekend, as I'm sure we can all agree on that one. And he was told to pull it down and very, very quickly and reminded of his responsibilities that rugby league is surviving on the fact that everyone in the game has taken a extremely responsible view to dealing with COVID. And after the St George incident, after the Abbey Coruscant incident, and after the Jai Arrow incident, the last thing we need is a football player promoting a rally like that, which we all saw got so totally out of control.
What did you make of Thomas Flegler's hit on Isaiah Yeo on the weekend?
I'm so glad you brought that up, Laurie, because no one blew up harder than I did about Magic Round and the total overreaction and the fact it ruined three great days of football. Thomas Flegler to go in with a swinging arm and knock out Isaiah Yeo, knock him unconscious before his head slammed onto the ground. The fact he wasn't sent off is a disgrace. In a year that where we're supposed to be taking this, and we all applaud the fact that they have gone stronger to treat concussion. But even if he wasn't sent off, the only way, Laurie, we're going to get, and Clarkie, the only way we're going to get coaches and clubs and players to take this more seriously is to whack them really, really hard with suspensions. And that is how Jim Komen's got rid of it in the old days, the wild old days. We didn't rely on referees or bunkers using the sin bin or whatever. If they were sent off or if they knocked a player out before he even hit the ground, he would get 2 weeks, which Flegler's going to get. He would have got 4, 6, 8 weeks, depending on his record. I think it's a... I would have liked to have seen him get a month. And that would have shown players that, look, the crackdown is still on. Yeah, we should have sent him off. We made a mistake there. The bunker did, but it was insufficient penalty as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I think a lot of people will agree with you on that point, Buzz. I certainly do. Mate, what about Melbourne Storm? Yeah, we know they've had success in the past recruiting mature-age players, and they're at it again with the son of Sean Garlick, Bronson Garlick, getting an opportunity to go and play with Melbourne Storm next year.
Yeah, this is a terrific story. You know, they signed Chris Lewis, who's 29 now, and Tom Eisenberth is 29 now, but they both joined mid to late 20s. And it's what I love about Melbourne Storm. And you look at how they signed Jerome Hughes out of reserve grade at the Townsville Blackhawks. And they just signed these unheralded, unknown players and who get into their system, are very well coached, pick up that great culture, and they become really, really handy first graders. And Bronson Garlick, son of Garlow's Pies owner, Sean Garlick, he's captain of the Newtown Jets, won't be playing again this year, I wouldn't think. He scored 11 tries as an edge forward. Terrific young fella. He worked as a sales and marketing manager for the company, which would fit right into the Storm system. And he's 25 years of age, Loz, and I think we'll be seeing a bit of him next year. And he's obviously not a like-for-like replacement for Dale Finucane, but from all reports, he's a very good footballer who, a bit like these Cody Walkers, who come in late, they never give up, they keep training hard and they doing their best, and he's got a chance later than most footballers, and I hope he makes the most of it.
I love those type of stories, Buzz, because a lot of people mature and develop at different ages, and I think at times we're quick to write off players. You know, if they haven't played first grade by their age of 20, 21, it's like, well, away you go. There's no opportunity. And I like when players go away. You know, they fully develop, they get stronger, they learn a lot more life skills, and then they go into a system a lot more aware of the challenges that are in front of them. And I think they're prepared to work a bit harder, and they know what sacrifices they need to make to become a professional. I think they're good players to pick up.
Yeah, and what I like, and with Craig Bellamy and Craig Parisi get all the credit for this out of Melbourne Storm, but they've got an incredibly good recruitment boss, Paul Bunn. And I'm told that Craig Bellamy and Craig Parisi hadn't even seen this kid play.
Oh, wow.
But still signed him on Paul Bunn's recommendation. And look, he's made some terrific... He's built this roster as much as anyone at Melbourne. At least, look, he goes and sits down with players and says, come and play with Craig Bellamy and come and play with, you know, this great football side we got. But he's got an incredible eye for talent. But look, they've got this system, Storm, and it's just a no dickhead policy. Look, they've had players who've made errors over the years. You saw Nelson Rasofa Solomona in Bali. You saw Harry Grant, what was he last year? Fall asleep on a neighbour's lawn, full of drink. Even the front rower, Jesse Bromwich, has had trouble when he was in camp with New Zealand. Josh Adokar last year. But they only get into trouble once, these boys. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They learn their lesson in that system, and they never look back. And I really think we'll see a bit of this Bronson Garlick. They tell me he's the top try scorer, and he's forward in New South Wales Cup. Certainly Newtown's the top try scorer. So, and anyone who's got a job as a sales and marketing manager, even if it's Dad's company, I think is obviously a really, really intelligent, well-raised young man who will fit right into that system.
Buzz, mate, thanks again. Have a great week.
Yeah, do I have to apologise, Clarkie? Okay,
oh, Buzz, don't start now. I've had 30 years of listening to you. Don't dare start apologising now. At least on this occasion, I don't have to read about it. You're actually saying it. That's a nice thing.
Hey, I see you on social media all the time. You've got a really great body, and that's the reason why, mate. You were never knocked around.
I got it. Please. I know, because I got it easy.
You suck, Buzz.
No. I got it easy, Buzz, playing in cricket.
There you go.
Good on you, Buzz.
See you, buddy.
7:30.